It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Bergmeier. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlessslivingradio.com.
And good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you have survived the recent snow situations and have done it pain-free without hurting yourself any. Although shoveling snow, for those of us who don't exercise on a regular basis, can lead to some soreness down the road here.
Oh, I imagine today there's a lot of sore backs, sore shoulders, yeah. Maybe even sore necks, all that shoveling.
But what sweeping. We do here is deal with pain. Not necessarily soreness. If you have some situations, you can always give the doctor a call at 888-440-4442. But there are many situations in the and conditions out there that cause many of us to suffer, and suffer is the correct word here, because anything, even if it's not excruciating pain, if it doesn't go away, you suffer with it. And that's what we're here for, to try to help that. And what we'll be talking about today, what the doctor's going to be talking about today, is RSD, CRPS1, CRPS2, Kazalgia. And we have no idea what that means, but the doctor will explain it in great detail, because when a doctor looks at it and says, oh, you have RSD, you don't know whether you should celebrate or cry, because we have no idea what that is.
Well, to put it simple, it's a real bad pain problem that comes from a minor injury.
Oh, okay. So something that hurts worse than you would ever think it should because of what you did to cause it.
That's actually the hallmark, that the pain is way out of proportion to okay. what the injury was that caused it.
All right. Yeah.
And a lot of times the people around them think that, oh, he's just trying to milk this for a little attention, maybe faking a little bit, yeah. wants some time off work.
Whiner.
Yeah, that's the label, and it's not until later on, usually, that the diagnosis is finally made that kind of validates all of that pain. But mm-hmm. by then, you know, a lot of people are already keeping their distance.
Yeah. Yeah. You've already gotten that reputation, and it's going to stick with you forever. Now, is it a situation where the minor injury has actually done something else internally that causes the pain?
Yes. What happens is there's a nerve injury involved.
Okay.
And it's the nerve injury that hurts so much. And nerves, even though they can heal, they heal very slowly. Measured in months to years Whoa. Rather than days to weeks. And with some types of nerve injury, like what causes the reflex sympathetic dystrophy to develop, the injury may actually perpetuate itself so that it's not going to wind down and heal on its own unless there's some intervention taken.
Well, you know, getting back to what you had said about the reputation and the whining and things like that, I would imagine many of us might be loath to go to a doctor because of worry about being put in that category. Being, you know, saying no one's going to believe that, you know, slipping on the ice and hitting my knee is making me hurt this bad this long after. So therefore, I'm not going to say anything because it must be me, not a situation.
Well, I think a lot of times it starts out that way, but the pain is just so intense that the people do eventually go to the doctor. You know, most of the people that have RSD, when you look, they went to the doctor within the first week or 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do you see someone that's making their first visit after a month because it's not getting better. Usually okay. they're there within a week
okay.
because it's so intense, and they still get, mm-hmm. sometimes they get the brush off.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. Do physicians understand this situation well enough to maybe look toward this first?
No, I'd say that there's two things going against that. One is that it's not a real common
okay.
condition. Fortunately, it's uncommon. So your average family doctor, for instance, may go his whole career and just see a handful of people that get affected by it. So the consequence of that is he's not going to think about that as the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second part is he might not even know that it exists.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So you've got those working against you. Now, other type of doctors, just because of the nature of the type of people that they take care of, mm-hmm. they're going to see it more often, like orthopedic doctors.
Right.
They're going to see people with nerve injuries and reflex sympathetic dystrophy more often because frequently if you've broken a bone, there's the potential there that you've damaged a nerve too.
Gotcha.
Even if you haven't broken a bone, bad sprains, things mm-hmm. like that, a lot of times they end up seeing orthopedic doctors.
Right.
And so the right. diagnosis usually gets made.
Good. Good to know. If you go to the right source, you can get the right treatment.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why we are here. Every Saturday, Dr. Cassaro is more than happy to entertain your questions directly at 888-440-4442 about RSD, reflex sympathetic, what?
Reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
Dystrophy.
That's why we call it RSD.
That's what I call it, too.
Yeah.
Or any pain situation you may be having right now. You know, the RSD is the topic the doctor has taken on for this week. But again, any pain you have should not be put on the back burner because you don't think it qualifies under this particular diagnosis. So again, the phone number 888-440-4442. And any and all questions will be entertained by Dr. Cassaro as we go on. Is there something, now you're saying like a week to 10 days, the pain gets so intense that most people who suffer from it go to the doctor that quickly. Is that before or after you think they've tried every possible combination of home remedies that they can think of?
Oh, the home remedies usually get tried pretty quick. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of over-the-counter medications that for slip-and-fall type injuries, sprains,
right.
things like that, are very appropriate treatment. They're the same thing that you'll get from the emergency room or the your doctor if you go there. So calling that a home remedy like it's ineffective is probably not fair because for most routine injuries, that should work fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's when those don't work that people start grasping for straws.
Right.
And they usually end up seeing a doctor pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, in this, I don't want to get on anybody's soapbox, but In this day and age, for various and sundry reasons, the trip to the doctor is sometimes put off for as long as possible.
Well, sometimes it's not only put off by the person who wants to avoid going to the doctor, especially we're sitting here in January right now. Christmas bills are mm-hmm. hitting just about the same time people start a new deductible on their insurance.
Yeah.
It's a bad time to have to go to the doctor
right.
for something. But, you know, even though people might avoid going to the doctor, the other side of that is that, especially if you're going to try to see a specialist, you call up to make the appointment. It may be a few weeks before you can get in there. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that puts it off.
Right. You know, we've been talking about how this RSD is a nerve damage from seemingly minor damage. Sometimes minor injury, tissue injury, a fall, a sprain, even a needle stick or something like that from a preceding medical procedure can lead to it. Are there any existing conditions that can make it more possible for you to pick up the RSD problem after an injury, like, you know, asthma or allergies or any condition like that that you might have going in?
Well, the conditions, yeah, they make a difference because the single biggest determinant of whether you'll develop a chronic pain problem after an injury is what kind of condition you're in at the time that you're injured. So the healthier you are, the less likely you'll develop a long-term problem. On the other hand, if you're already saddled with a bunch of chronic problems, mm-hmm. you're likely to pick up another one.
So that's one of the reasons why exercise is in all caps. You know, in the computer jargon, you're screaming exercise at us, doctor.
Diet and sleep also.
888-440-4442 is the number. You have any questions about RSD or any pain at all, give us a call. We're here for a while to take those.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
You can reach us at 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Dr. Cassaro is here to answer any questions, whether the pain be a symptom of RSD or anything else. Give us a call.
Anything that hurts.
That's what we're here for. Now, one of the other ways to get through to the doctor, if you're shy or not available at this time every week to call in live, is you can always go to painlesslivingshow.com and hit the contact tab and just fill out the form there and, you know, describe what your situation is. And eventually, not like immediately within 5-10 minutes, but, you know, without too much time having passed, Dr. Cassaro will answer it directly.
That's right. And every once in a while, we pick one of those messages
and we have,
to read on air. We have one today that is particularly appropriate for the local weather.
Now, not only did you mention that Christmas bills and new deductibles, but ice happened in January. And it's just like, you know, the perfect storm.
Right.
It says, Doctor, I fell on the ice last winter. I landed on my left knee like I was kneeling. I thought it was okay right after the fall. I got up, tried to act like nothing was wrong. I love those people. Well, yeah, I'm cool. I plan to do that. My knee started swelling and hurting right away, and it just kept getting worse. At first, they thought I tore a cartilage, but the MRI didn't show anything. I went to 3 months of physical therapy. At times, it hurt so bad I couldn't walk on it, and I have used crutches. After about 5 months, I had an arthroscopy. The doctor shaved some cartilage. My knee's no better. After another 2 months of physical therapy, the doctor told me I have RSD. I don't care what I have. I want to get rid of the pain. I'm back in physical therapy again. I want to try something else. I feel trapped in a dead end. What else can I do? And you can feel the frustration even in the words here.
I could imagine that's several months of physical therapy and back in physical therapy again. Mm-hmm. And she's got to be thinking, isn't there anything else that can be done besides physical therapy? Well, she had the surgery, and it's kind of unfortunate that the surgery didn't help, but the diagnosis of RSD coming along, physical therapy is frequently part of the treatment for RSD, but yes, there are other things that could be done and should be done. And, you know, I don't know if that's already in the plan or not, but what I talked to her about was asking for a referral to a pain management doctor, because we treat people with RSD all the time, and there are some diagnostic procedures that can be done to confirm the diagnosis, but it's probably correct. And then there are some therapeutic things. Now, she is far enough out where it's probably permanent. But there are still things that can be done that can relieve the pain a whole lot so that she can walk again without needing crutches periodically and get back to some normal activity. But the other reason to see another doctor is that there's always the chance that that diagnosis is incorrect or incomplete. I mean, she may have had, and she landed on her knee. I don't doubt that she did some damage to the knee. The thing is, when you land on your knee, even if it's like a kneeling position, that impact gets transmitted up to your back. So she could have a back injury also. And that could be keeping the nerve to the knee so aggravated that it hurts a lot, even after she's had appropriate physical therapy, appropriate surgery, and I'm sure there's been some other treatments too, so that getting the rest of that diagnosis is going to be a key to getting more relief from that pain.
And I guess pain management physician, chiropractor, who would be best suited to continue
well,
that?
Well, if she does have a back problem, a real good place to start for treatment there would be with a chiropractor.
Okay.
Now, ideally, that would have been in the first few days after the injury.
Right.
And that's probably a good word of advice for people that slip on ice or any kind of impact from a fall. See a chiropractor early on. That's one of the least risky things and most beneficial things combined that you can do. Your downside on seeing the chiropractor after an impact is really, really small.
Okay.
So the other things that can be done later on now are unlikely to make it go away completely, but she can still get significant relief, whether it's from a chiropractor or from some invasive procedures.
Wow. And that's, again, you need to, you know, it's difficult from the standpoint of a patient to insist on more. You know, when the physician says, oh, this is what you got, this is what you do, goodbye, see you later. You know, you need, I guess, be a little more aggressive with the physician or just go off on your own and go get a second
opinion. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that after we talk to, Marie calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Marie, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Hi, well, I hope you can help me. I've been dealing since last April with pudendal nerve pain. I think it's pudendal nerve pain. I can't get any answers from the doctors. I've had an MRI done, so I know that I have problems with bone spurs and various things going on with my spine, and I have the lower back pain. But it affects my bladder with incontinence and that, and I've been to the urogynecologist, and they find nothing. I've been to my gynecologist. They find nothing. I've made my round of doctors until I was sick of them, and so I had to start doing my own research, and from what I found, it seems to be coming back to either the pudendal nerve or the sciatic nerve that's causing the problem. Can you address any of those issues?
Yes, it could be, you know, if it's affecting your bladder like that, it could be a pudendal nerve problem. But the pudendal nerve is really hard to injure, so there would have to be something else involved usually.
Right, that's why I was thinking it was coming from some compression of the pudendal nerve where it exits the lower part of the spine being irritated or inflamed, because I've had no injuries, so, and this just came on fairly suddenly.
Yeah, usually for people that have bladder problems like that, that are coming from nerve injury or nerve irritation, it's in the back where it starts. And spinal stenosis would be a real common cause, something that's got a lot of bone spurs where it narrows the canal that all your nerves pass through on their way down your spine.
Right. They sent me to a neurologist after the MRI was done, and he was such an idiot. He doesn't deserve the name of a doctor. But anyway, he told me he doesn't know anything about nerves. He said, I'm a surgeon. I don't know anything about nerves. So I ended that office visit very quickly. But is there anything that in your practice that you can do to address the spinal stenosis? If that is, I'm sure it's coming for myself from the research I've done. I'm sure it is coming from my spine.
Yes, there's significant things that can be done for spinal stenosis. Probably one of the first things to try is traction. Mm-hmm. Traction tends to help. Just if you can pull those spurs back away from sensitive structures like nerves, even just a fraction of a millimeter, that usually relieves enough irritation where you can start feeling better. Now, there are a couple of ways to get traction. One is you can buy an inversion table for home use. The other is you can get a lumbar traction device that you can use at home. And another way, it's not really traction, but it can be just as beneficial, is exercising in the water. The water arthritis exercise programs they have at all the pools around town. When you get in there, the water supports your body, so you can be a lot more flexible and do a lot more than you can on dry land. And then, of course, if the non-invasive things like that are unsuccessful, there are other more invasive things. There are injections that can help. There are also implanted devices, and there's also the possibility of having surgery to decompress those nerves. So there are a lot of things that can be done. It's not the kind of thing that you just have to suffer with.
Right. Good. Well, that's what my concern. I have been trying to take different minerals and vitamins and things and gelatin and that to try to help with my spine. But I did not know about the lumbar traction. I do have an inversion table, but I didn't know if that would be beneficial or not. So.
Very likely to be beneficial. In fact, for most people, that's the single best thing you can do on your own at home to keep your back problems from getting worse.
Very good. But you treat this type of pain at your office?
Oh, yes. Yes, certainly do.
And what do we do? Just give you a call to set an appointment?
It's that easy.
Okay.
That music means we're headed to a break, Marie. So I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and good luck to you.
And you can dial us in at 888-440-4442 and get your questions answered just as easily, just as quickly, and just as soon. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
It's that simple. It certainly is, and as our last caller Marie, she sounds like she's in third or fourth year of medical school because of the research, and that's one of the things that, as you alluded to earlier in the program, Doctor, RSD is not something that your family physician comes across a whole lot, so it may not be the first thing that pops into his head when presented with this problem. Research that you do online. That's a result of the frustration of suffering from pain without any, relief. You learn an awful lot.
Well, there are more than a few patients I've seen over the past several years that have told me that they're the one that told their doctor that they had RSD or some other diagnosis
right. Based
on their research online and their symptoms. Of course, I can also say that there's a lot of people that have come in here saying that they diagnose themselves with all kinds of outlandish things online that miss the mark entirely.
Well, if you read WebMD, you really can probably figure, yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've got that symptom too. And you could probably come down with a whole lot of series of situations. But
we need to
boost it up a little bit here.
No, the problem with WebMD is that they've tried to put things into linear paths that you research down.
Yeah.
And so many times what happens is you've got a symptom in one part of your body that's caused by something in another part of your body. And that linear path doesn't bode well for finding that solution on WebMD.
Right. Now, you had mentioned to our caller that, the traction situation could help a little bit. With RSD specifically, is there are a lot of things in here. Again, exercise in capital letters because, that is important. Sleep and diet, those are important in not just RSD, but in every situation that can cause pain. But you've got a few other things that basically looks like it runs from the sublime to the ridiculous in ways that you can treat yourself. You're welcome.
I put a lot into that.
But, you stuff that you can do, over the counter for a couple of bucks to stuff that, you're going to have to call your insurance company and talk about before you can get involved with.
Well, let's start with the over-the-counter
stuff.
Let's
do that first.
Can do because,
much less depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Even though your insurance is paying, somehow it always costs more.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny how that works? Huh? What would you suggest first off the bat? Walking down Kroger and there's no bread left on the shelves today, so...
Yeah, you might as well buy some medication.
Might as well.
Well, there's one on the list there that a lot of people cringe at, but it's really very effective, and that's capsaicin cream.
Okay.
Pepper cream, hot pepper creams, things like that. That capsaicin, the stuff that makes Tabasco sauce hot, when that soaks through your skin, it desensitizes the nerves under your skin.
Okay.
And especially if you start using this when the RSD is still fairly new, it can desensitize those nerves and help to get that whole hyper-excitability situation to calm down. And that stuff's pretty inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's over the counter.
Yeah.
You can put it on yourself. The only thing that I caution people all the time is don't put it on with your fingertips.
Because those fingertips wind up in other places because you're going to rub your eyes with that finger eventually.
That's right. Use the back of your hand or wear a glove. And what you'll find is even wearing a glove isn't total protection.
Yeah.
So, because it tends to soak through the glove the same way it'll soak through your hand. So use the back of your hand.
You know, and last week with a situation totally unrelated to RSD, you mentioned that many problems with pain originate in the gut. And again, probiotics is something that's on the list of things to take a look at.
Well, right before our last break, we talked about the single biggest determinant of whether you end up developing a chronic pain problem after an injury is what kind of condition you were in before mm-hmm. the injury.
Mm-hmm.
When we go back and look, and of course, it's always 20/20 vision when you're looking in hindsight.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that end up with reflex sympathetic dystrophy have had long-standing digestive problems, whether it's just been written off as irritable bowel problems or whether it's some food intolerance problem or some overt allergy. They've had long-term digestive problems that lead to their body being in a condition that's conducive to developing a chronic pain problem.
Mm-hmm.
And with digestive problems in general, probiotics are usually a really good thing to start with. That should be first line. So that's why that's on this list. And it's not that it's meant to be a cure for the reflex sympathetic dystrophy,
mm-hmm.
but if you can calm down a pro-inflammatory metabolism, which is usually what's associated with gut problems, then you also calm down the results of the inflammation, which would be things like the RSD.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. Is there a typical timeline? You know, you like the woman who emailed us fell on a knee and, you know, jumped right back up. I'm okay. And, you know, the pain started intensely almost immediately thereafter with the swelling and stuff like that. But is there a stages, you know, from falling and doing the initial injury to the time when the pain is excruciating and you have to do something?
There is a typical timeline, and I'll try to keep from getting too cynical here.
Okay. For a change.
Well, what usually happens is you have a minor injury like this woman that fell and landed on her knee.
Mm-hmm.
For the first day or two, it's just like anybody else that falls and lands on their knee. Somewhere around the third, fourth, fifth day, the person starts noticing that, hey, this pain is continuing to get worse, even though it should be getting better by now. With most injuries, the third day is the worst.
Okay.
After that, things should start getting better. And this person will realize that their fourth, fifth day, things are getting worse. They feel worse on day five than they did on day three. And then going into the next week, it's still either getting worse or it's plateaued and it's not getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first hallmark in the timeline, is that pain that continues to get worse when it should be getting better. And then the second thing would be pain that's out of proportion to the injury that caused it. Now, the rest of the timeline is where the cynicism comes in a little bit. And I want to make it clear that I'm not blaming anybody, because it's just the way things work with human nature. The person goes to the doctor, might be maybe a week or 10 days mm-hmm. after the injury. The doctor can't tell the difference between that injury and anybody else that landed on their knee, prescribes some anti-inflammatory medicines and maybe, you know, a brace temporarily, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The pain keeps getting worse. The person keeps getting worse, coming back to the doctor saying, that didn't work. My pain is worse. And that's when things, the antenna might be going up that, maybe this person's looking for pain medicine.
Yeah.
So then you know, there may or may not be a delay, and then you finally get a referral maybe to a specialist, an orthopedic surgeon or pain management doctor or somebody else. And then that might take 3 or 4 weeks to get in to see that person.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the time you start getting any specific treatment for the condition, you're probably 2 months, at least a month, or maybe 2 months along in the course. And that's really kind of late to be starting because you're already dealing with complications from not being able to walk properly,
mm-hmm.
or changes in the way you can do things. And it's taking its toll on the person's...
The domino effect of...
Job performance.
Right.
Family performance.
Right.
Things like that.
Is there a ceiling for the pain? Or does it continually get worse? Like you say, start affecting other areas of your body, maybe even causing pain in other areas of your body? Or if left untreated? Because many of us, and you know, again, I don't want to get cynical, but many of us are like... I just fell on my knee. I don't need to go to a doctor. You know.
Well, the answer is yes. It starts affecting other things because, for instance, this knee is a great example. She can't walk on the knee, so she's starting to use crutches.
Yeah.
So now what happens? Maybe the crutches aren't fit for her. Maybe she's borrowing them from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
She starts ending up with shoulder problems too.
Right.
Or maybe she's a little too aggressive on the crutches and she starts developing some back problems or who knows what. The other thing is people that are in pain tend to change their appetite changes. So they change what they eat and it's usually not for the better.
Yeah.
And that contributes to the pain.
You do a lot more fast food because you can't stand to cook and you really don't have an appetite to eat a whole lot, so you just get little stuff.
Well, that's the big thing is if you can't stand up to prepare the food, what are you going to do? You're going to eat pre-prepared food.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an exacerbation problem of pain to begin with because diet being one of the important elements of treating and preventing painful situations.
And the other one, even though she didn't mention this in her email... Sleep. Uh-huh. I imagine it's very uncomfortable trying to lay there at night trying to get to sleep.
Yeah.
So sleep is interrupted. And everybody, after a poor night's sleep, you're going to feel worse. And if that happens weeks on end, it takes a toll.
Well, now that we've totally depressed you, why don't you give us a call at 888-440-4442 and let us give you the good news. There is hope. And again, 888-440-4442. Give us a call. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
At 888-440-4442, plenty of time left together this Saturday morning with Dr. Cassaro and you to get in and get any specific pain situations addressed. Our topic here this morning is RSD, but we will entertain any situation that you might have at 888-440-4442.
You know, I want to bring up just one thing. It's been kind of in the back of my mind the whole show because we started out with this email
mm-hmm.
from the lady that slipped on ice.
Right.
And we've got all the ice outside today. I've been in practice now for a whole bunch of years. I think this is my 30th winter, maybe 31st winter in practice. That's a lot. But there has never been a single winter that I haven't had to take care of one of my patients who was seriously injured because they slipped and fell on ice
mm-hmm.
because they were outside walking around like it was summertime.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is people getting out of their car, getting out of their vehicle in a parking lot, or going down their own back steps. So please be careful out there.
Exactly. My father was out trying to shovel some snow off of his deck. He was 82 at the time, fell. Broke his leg in three places. It's not convenient breaking a leg in three places when you're 82 years old. It was quite a situation getting that back. I mean, it was we had to put him in not just a hospital initially, but he had to go to a you know, nursing care facility, rehab hospital
for
a long time.
Yeah, anybody that's immobilized for even a short period of time, you take a young, healthy 20-year-old and immobilize them for a week,
mm-hmm.
they've already lost something.
Mm-hmm.
Immobilize them for a month, and they need to rehabilitate too.
Right.
So you could imagine what it's like when you've got somebody that's elderly that gets immobilized for months.
Yeah. It was not a happy situation. Not at all. With the RSD, as we were mentioning in the email, emailer, I guess you call them callers, the emailers, that the woman who fell and landed on her knee and has been suffering some intense RSD situations, we assume, since that point. What else can I do was the last sentence in that. And has she done everything right up to this point?
Well, I think she's done everything right. I mean, there might have been some things that could have been better, but you can't play Monday morning quarterback on it. You have to look at how things went, and I can't say that anything was done that was inappropriate or wrong. I think that...
Just ineffective.
Well, the first thing is if she feels like she's in a dead end, mm-hmm. she needs to get another opinion.
Right.
Even if it's just going to another physical therapist or go back to her family doctor or something like that, she mm-hmm. needs to get steered towards another opinion. If nothing else, just to confirm that what's being done is appropriate. But if the diagnosis of reflex sympathetic dystrophy is correct,
right.
and this happened last winter, we're probably about a year since this happened, it's not going away.
Right.
It's probably permanent. So it's time to start looking for some long-term treatments.
Okay.
And me being a pain management doctor, the number one long-term treatment for reflex sympathetic dystrophy would be spinal stimulation. Now, that's a permanently implanted device.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't want to go there. But for people that are desperate, looking for a lot of relief, that ends up being a game changer. That can change their whole life as far as their abilities to rejoin their family and friends and work and things like that.
Mm-hmm. How involved a procedure is that?
Well, what's the old thing? It's only minor surgery if it's on somebody else. It's considered minor surgery.
All right.
It's usually done as an outpatient.
Okay.
But it's an involved process. There are two stages to it. One is a trial just to try it out, make sure it's going to work before mm-hmm. doing the permanent implant. And there's more involved than that. It's really more than what we can discuss on the radio. It's,
okay.
it's a big deal. I don't want to minimize it because it is a big deal to have some permanently implanted device. But because it's a long-term treatment for a long-term problem,
mm-hmm.
it can free you up from having to be in the doctor's office every month, and it can free you up from reliance on medications and things like that.
Which can cause other problems in and of themselves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then there's one thing. Can I get on a soapbox for a second?
I do.
I know. I just want to join you up there. This is one of the reasons I would think you were talking about how a lot of times with a cynical eye, people in the medical profession may look at you thinking that you're exaggerating your pain levels a little bit for seeking medication. I would think that would be the most important reason why you should develop a long-term relationship with a physician, because they would know you and would be able to know. I mean, if you go to a doctor you've never been to before and saying, I fell on the ice and my knee is killing me, give me some pills, they're going to look at you like, yeah, right. But if you had been to this doctor for an extended period of time and they knew that you don't exaggerate, if you say it hurts, it must hurt, then there must be something wrong.
Well, I'd say you're exactly right there. It mm-hmm. definitely pays to have a relationship with a doctor, just like it pays to have a relationship with a lawyer and mm-hmm. an accountant and things like that. But
right.
on the other hand, find a healthy 25-year-old out there and convince them that they need to go to the doctor when they're feeling fine. See where you get with that.
No, I have enough frustration in my life. I'm not going to take that project on, too. No, I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're immortal, you don't need a doctor. What, at what age do you realize that immortality really is only in comic books?
Well, I've got an answer for that, too. Somewhere you go from immortality to denial.
Okay.
And for men, that is a very common transition.
And never ending.
Yes. And that denial phase, if you're 50 and you haven't seen it, the last doctor you saw was a pediatrician, you probably ought to go get some routine testing done.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stop by for a quick visit, say hello, and let him.
Yeah, the old ounce of prevention,
yeah,
worth a pound of cure.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of digresses from what we talk about on the show as chronic pain, but overall, you want to try to maintain your body the best you can.
Right.
And so a big part of that is your general health. And there are all kinds of things that can be sneaking up on you without causing any symptoms, mm-hmm, or causing minor symptoms that you're able to ignore.
Right.
And, you know, it could be the warning signs of something big developing behind the scenes.
Yeah. And you don't know that because you're not a highly trained medical professional, as is Dr. Cassaro. So always.
Oh, keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just going through the shameless self-promotion portion of our time together here. So.
Well, and you can get back on your soapbox anytime you want to.
You know, one of the things that we always talk about every week with treatment of pain is specific vitamins and minerals. Taking those without pain, can they head off any potential? Like if I were taking a good dose of vitamin E's and B's, which always seem to come up in our conversations on a weekly basis, would that lower any instance of pain from a small injury like this or not?
Well, not specifically,
okay,
but in general, the better condition you're in,
yeah,
at the time of an injury, the less likely you'll develop a chronic pain problem from it. So if that's part of keeping your body in good condition, then, yeah, generally speaking, it's probably going to be beneficial for you.
Yeah.
There's not anything specific as far as that goes. It's just overall general good nutrition, and that's what the nutritional supplements, mm-hmm, are designed to help you with, is to supplement your nutrition.
Hence the term.
Yeah.
And again, the shopping from the fresher side of the supermarket.
Well, that's where all the nutrition is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old term about the nutrition label on all the packages is really kind of a misnomer, because all the nutrition, the real nutrition, mm-hmm, is in the stuff that has no nutrition label.
Doesn't need it.
That's right.
Gotcha. And I talked to my wife about a inversion table, and she said we have no room for one, so I'm coming over to use yours, if that's okay.
Sure.
With you.
Yeah. It's out in the garage.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we'll wait till March then.
No, that is a problem I hear from a lot of people. It does take up some room.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't take so much room on the floor.
Yeah.
But when you're tilting it, your feet come up, your head goes back,
yeah,
and it takes up, you need probably, even if you're a short person, you're going to need 6 feet.
6 feet of clearance. Right.
And if you don't have 6 feet of clearance, you need to put it outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's going to happen. So I guess basically, and real quick, I want to ask you about copper. What's the thing with copper? Is that really a help?
It's not in pennies anymore, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. It's in compression Band-Aids and things. Does
it
help?
Yeah, the copper probably does play a role. Part of it is a nutritional role, but yeah, there are – actually, we're at the end of the show now. I hear the bumper music playing.
Just as I was going to get the answer.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into copper, talking about copper,
okay,
for overall health and for pain. There's something to it, but I'm not so sure you need to deck yourself out with copper jewelry on every extremity.
Okay, well, time for another wardrobe change. I want you to notate this phone number. It is 888-440-4442. And this website, painlessslivingshow.com. You can always get in touch with Dr. Cassaro through the website or right here on the phone, on the radio, every Saturday morning. And until next Saturday, try to stay painless.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm co-host John Ashton. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.